This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Welcome back. I'm so glad that you're here. You are listening to episode 110, and today I'm going to be talking to Elizabeth Quintal of Outside the Box. She's a mom on a mission to build community, and she really wants to help her son know what that looks like and practically do it. And I think a lot of us can identify with that. We want to know how, but sometimes we really don't, and so we end up not because it feels too hard. So she has made a really simple way to do that, and I really wanted to share this resource with you. Additionally, we talk about a really big change she's making to put this community goal into action. She spent a lot of time working with homeless families and more specifically homeless children. And so we talk a lot about how to keep your heart soft towards that population when you just see them doing the same things over and over. How to have compassion. What does she do to practically meet the needs? How do you balance not enabling, but helping where it's actually helpful? As well as practical ways to use crafts with your kids to impact your community. Before we get started, though, I wanted to introduce you to one of this week's episode sponsors, Rebecca Renfro. And she is a coach for small business owners. Primarily, her people who she coaches are moms. And so I thought this is so important for you guys to know about. A lot of you are obviously moms and small business owners. So I have been working with her. And if you've noticed like some new things I'm doing, it's all because Rebecca is just really great at helping you understand where are you, where are you getting stuck, where do you want to be, and how can you get there. So just having somebody to bounce ideas off of and brainstorm with and kind of problem solve has been so great for me. I've made so many really important changes in this show because of my conversations with her. So I wanted to tell you about her coaching. You can find out more about it at RebeccaRenfro.com, and she is going to give Mom Struggling Well listeners 10% off of their coaching package. Also, if you go to RebeccaRenfro.com, she has free resources, PDFs, business blueprints, and videos that are very useful. What I love about Rebecca is that she is a mom herself, so she understands the trickiness, but she's also had several businesses herself. She's very encouraging, and you get off the phone with her feeling like you can just basically do anything and you have a plan about how to do it. So I highly encourage you to use her services. You will be very glad that you did. All right, let's go ahead and get started with my chat with Elizabeth. Hi, Elizabeth. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. You said you went on a run. You're a runner?
Yes. Well, I'm a sort of runner. I'm not avid enough, but I'm trying to pick it back up. I used to be.
You used to be. Okay. I wish I was, but I also don't like it. So I don't wish I was that much.
I do really like it. It's just once I had my son, it was just like kind of went out the window a little bit, put it on the back burner. So yeah. I'm trying to pick it back up.
That's great. And so how old's your son?
He's 5.
Okay. I have a 5-year-old son.
Yeah.
I get it. Okay. So you have one or how many kiddos?
I have one. Just my son. Yeah.
You have one. And then where do you live?
I live in Houston, Texas right now.
Okay. That's what I thought.
But we're moving soon.
So where are you moving? Do you know?
To Madrid.
What? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So magical. October 12th, we'll be out of here. It's crazy.
What are you going to Madrid for?
An adventure. We just kind of, our box, actually, we talk a lot about connection with our little ones. And we just realized that our life in Houston, that was one aspect we were missing. My husband was in traffic 2+ hours a day. And he told me one day, a lot of my memories of our son are from your Instagram. And that just kind of broke my heart. And so we researched it, did a lot of things, and realized that this was a move we could make. It's a lot cheaper in Madrid than it is in Houston. And we're just kind of going a little minimalist and going to live for the experience and not for the stuff.
Okay, so let's just talk about that for a minute. So you're just going to do your small business from Madrid?
Yeah, I'm going to keep running Outside the Box and Cheeky Days from Madrid. My husband is going to do some consulting work, but our primary focus will be on just spending that time with our son and not living the same lifestyle. So we're going to have less things. We're selling all of our stuff before we move and just kind of have the experiences, the traveling experiences and those kinds of things.
Okay, do you have a timeline of how long you're going to be there, or is it a forever thing? Or
I don't think it's a forever thing, but I'm not sure. We're just kind of going to go for it and see where the experience takes us.
Have you lived overseas before?
I have not, but my husband has twice. He lived in Japan for actually, I think, 3 years.
And then you speak Spanish? He speaks Spanish?
No and no. I know a little bit, but definitely not enough to say I speak Spanish. But my brother lives there. He's lived there for 3 years.
Okay, so you're moving near your brother.
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering why Madrid?
Yeah, actually Madrid is the price range and the price point of living there. It's just lower. And then my brother's lived there for 3 years and really loves it. And so we'll be near him. And so it just kind of worked out that way.
Wow. Okay. So you look, how old are you? You seem pretty young. I mean,
I'm 36.
Oh,
I just turned 36 in September. Yeah.
Okay. I'm 37. I don't know. You look like you're like in your 20s or something. So I was going to say, how are your parents with this? But you're like, my parents are. I'm grown up.
You know what? The funny thing is my mom's coming.
She's coming too. This story just is unfolding.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a little family thing. We're just going to go on this crazy adventure together and see where it takes us.
Wow. Seriously. So your passion is connection and you are not messing around.
Yeah. It's like one of those things where like, you know that it's important to you. And then you build a business with that foundation and then you're living your life and you're like, wait a minute, something's out of alignment here in my own life. Let's fix that. Let's talk about that.
I love it. Okay, so let's talk about that. You for 10 years worked at a nonprofit that helped homeless families.
Yes, I did.
I'm sure that that was quite a memorable experience. I'm sure you saw a lot of things that most people don't see. So I wanted to ask you kind of about that. Like, what did you learn in that role?
Oh, wow. Yeah. So we did see a lot. What I learned, I think my biggest takeaway from that role is how to love others, how to have compassion for others, and how not to judge others. I think it's easy when we don't understand situations or we've never been in those situations or have had relatives or friends in those situations. It's easy to say, well, you could do A, B, C, or D, but you really don't know until you're there. And to ask questions and hear people's stories, because everyone has a story and you don't know that story until you look them in the eyes and realize maybe they're in a different place. Maybe they made some bad choices, but they still have a story and they're still human and they're still loved. And for us to give that love to them and help them maybe go to the place they need to go and be a part of their journey,
yeah,
as opposed to judging them and just thinking we have it all figured out,
yeah,
because we're not in their position.
Certainly. My first job was with juveniles in the jail system, and they were being tried as adults. So they were heading to prison, but they were like 14 and stuff. And it's really, really easy just to say, okay, well, you shouldn't have killed that person. That was really a dumb,
yeah,
thing, which obviously I'm not an advocate of murder. However, you don't understand. It's so much more complicated. Like in the gang family system, in order to be accepted fully into the gang, you have to serve some time.
Yep.
That's like what makes you a man. And so it's kind of better to get in earlier and younger so that you can get out earlier. And like, that's when your life like really starts, is when you're out of prison. And so you can't just go in and be like, don't kill people, because they're like, my dad told me to. It wasn't exactly,
yeah,
like I did the wrong thing. I did the right thing in my system,
yeah,
that I live in. Yeah.
So exactly.
What did you find it hard to not kind of get jaded when you saw kind of some of the similar stories playing out over and over?
I think it's hard not to get frustrated because you go in there and you want to see people's lives change. You want to see like radical change, and they're going to break this cycle and they're going to move forward and they're never going to be homeless again. And then you see them back in the shelter in 6 months. It's frustrating. But for me, I always went back to, they're back here for a reason. They're back here for a purpose. And so whatever that is, we need to give them the love and the understanding and the compassion to hear them and to feed them. Because you can't change people. You can't make them change. But what you can do is be that loving, guiding support. And if they want it, they'll take it. They'll take those seeds when you plant them. And they'll grow, but that's all you can do. And so it's frustrating on one hand, but on the other hand, it's like, there's a reason and a purpose for this. And maybe the first time you didn't get it, or the second time you didn't get it, but maybe the fifth time you'll hear it and it'll make a difference.
Did you see it make a difference to people?
To some, I did. Yeah. I worked a lot with the children. That's what I did my majority of my time when I was at the shelter. And what I saw made the most difference is when you treated the children differently than they expected you to treat them. They were used to being in the system. They were used to how the system handled them, whether that was the school system or the foster care system or CPS system. They knew what to expect. And when you stepped outside of that and gave them just genuine love and understanding, like whether they threw a chair across the room or spit in your face, if you didn't get angry and frustrated with them, but rather you took a step back and realized that had nothing to do with you, but had everything to do with how much they were hurting, and you listened to them and you gave them that kind of unconditional love in that moment, it changed the dynamic a great deal.
That would just be overwhelming to see kiddos that little already knowing things about the world that the rest of us, some of us don't ever even know, you know? And so how did they expect to be treated? Were people mean to them or dismissive, or how did that go?
Well, I think it was just kind of a role. It was like, I throw a chair at you, I spit at you, I curse you out, you're going to send me out of the class, you're going to send me out of here, I'm going to get kicked out. Nobody really cares. Like when you have kids, what do? They test the boundaries, mm-hmm. right? I say this, they're going to test it. I say this, they're going to test it. And the thing is, with what we found a lot with the children we worked with is they were looking for love and structure, and they test those boundaries. If I said, I love you, I'm here for you, a lot of them have never experienced that in a genuine way. It was always kind of a, I love you, I'm here for you, but this is what I need from you too. And so when you said that without any strings attached, they tested it. Mm-hmm. And so they would push those boundaries. And a lot of times in systems they experienced, you'd get kicked out or suspended or couldn't be in that shelter anymore. And we really tried to work with them beyond that.
Okay. Were the kids that you worked with connected to their families, or were they kind of like homeless and by themselves?
They were connected to their families. So their families were there. And usually it was a single mom, sometimes a single dad, and sometimes a married couple, but usually single moms with their kids.
And I know from the little that I know, it's hard when a single mom has boys and the boys get old enough, it's harder to find shelters for boys of a certain age, if I understand. It's just so complicated.
That was the beautiful thing about our shelter is we took them all the way up until they were even 18 if they were with their mom.
Okay. Now. Okay.
But if they came alone at 18, they'd have to go to the men's shelter.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
How did you navigate the difference between offering the love and support and enabling? Some people just, they know the system and they're going to work the system.
Mm-hmm. It's a balance. Our director at our facility used to always use this phrase, truth and grace. If you lean too far to grace, it's not going to work out. If you lean too far to truth, which is all law and legal, it's not going to work out. You have to balance. And there's no formula. Like, here's how you balance it. Every situation is so different. Every child is so different. If parents have more than one kid, you know this. Like, your two children could be so different from each other. And so there's never going to be an exact formula, but it's that balance, always trying to find that balance of truth and grace. And sometimes you mess up. Sometimes you lean too much one way or the other, but it's really kind of looking for that. And this is, I tell my staff, yes, sometimes they're going to play you. They're going to know the system. They're not going to have played the system. But at the end of the day, what's more important, that you caught them playing you or that you showed them some genuine love?
Yeah.
That you gave them something they hadn't experienced before.
Yeah.
So it was a growth opportunity for me, really, because I know when I started at the shelter, I thought, well, I'm going to come in here, I'm going to save homeless children and help them become better people. But really, it helped me become a better person as far as growth, like growing and learning and understanding about really how to love people.
Yeah. How did you keep from like it totally wrecking you that there was all these little homeless kids? Like, I feel like that would be so hard for me at night to know they're like, or especially in a storm, or you know what I mean?
It is really hard. It's still really hard. My very last day at the shelter, there was a horrible, I mean, because we dealt with a lot of things. We dealt with sexual abuse, physical abuse, human trafficking, a lot of different issues, verbal and emotional abuse, different things. But my very last day was a sexual abuse case that we were talking about. And actually, I wasn't a part of, but I was in the meeting for, because it was my last day, but so I wasn't a part of it. I left there thinking, there's still so many kids, so many parents that are hurting and need help and need support and need love. So there were days I went home crying. There were days I just vent to my husband. But really, it's keeping hope and faith, knowing that you can't change people, but you can plant seeds of love in their life. And I talk a lot about in my box or in my social media feed that it's not about these big grand things you do as a person or as a family with your kids. It's really about these small daily things, about teaching really how to love other people and be compassionate and kind in very small ways.
Yeah.
And that's all we can do, is have hope in that, that we're created to be able to do that. We're created to have the capacity for that. And how do we use that in our everyday life?
Yeah. For a mom who doesn't really know what to do when she sees a homeless person, like with her kids or whatever, it's always hard to know, like, do you give them a dollar? I personally don't like doing that because I know there's tons of terrible things to do with a dollar and they'll find it and, you know, whatever. What do you recommend people do who would like to show love and like to model that for their kids regarding people that they see who need assistance?
So what we do is we make care packs. Actually, my son decorates little sack lunch bags, and okay. We just put like a granola bar, a bottle of water, maybe like those little small toothpaste and toothbrush kits, like okay. Just something simple, and have them in the car. And if we see somebody, we'll hand one out.
Okay.
So we do that. We went on a trip to New York last Christmas, and in our hotel, they charged you for the drinks that were in your mini fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you drank them or not, they charged you for them.
Oh, okay.
That was a part of your fee. So we didn't drink soda. And so my son every morning would take them, put them in his bag. And when we walked wherever we were going in New York, he would hand them out.
Okay.
So it's just thinking of little things like that. I mean, we were already paying for it. It was going to be wasteful anyway. And so that was something little that we could do, hand out juice and soda while we walked. But on a daily basis, the care packs in our car is our go-to.
That's great. And knowing homeless people more than the rest of us probably do they appreciate that? Are they like, oh, I just want $5, or does that even matter?
Some do and some don't. Some will refuse it. There have been people that I've talked to and said, you know, you can come to the shelter, you can do this, you can do that. Like, I'll have conversations if I feel comfortable, and they don't want to come to the shelter. There are some homeless people, and those are mainly the homeless men, that just don't feel comfortable. They're not ready for that change in their life, and so they're not going to make that change yet. And some people refuse the care pack because they do just want money, but most of them are gracious and take it.
All right. So let's talk about your passion, which we've got also, you know, we've kind of talked about a little bit, but you are really into teaching kids kindness, empathy, how to be thankful, and about diversity and building community, which is why the Madrid trip, that's fantastic. I love that idea. So what started this as a passion for you? Where did that begin?
I think for me, it began when I was a child. I've always been this way. And I don't know, I think it's something I was born with, but I just have a passion for like giving back and understanding other people. So I worked at the shelter for 10 years, but when I had my son, I knew I needed to cut back because it was a very long job. I used to work 70 hours some weeks, and I wanted to have more time with my son. So when he was first born, I went to part-time. But when he was about 3 years old, I finally resigned even from my part-time position, because it was just one of those moments after a lot of prayer and thought, it was time for me to move on. But I realized that I still had this passion in my life, and I wanted to teach other kids and my own son about what I did, about what it means to give back, about what it means to be a part of community and not just kind of live in our isolated bubble. I think we see that a lot these days, that we kind of, it's all about the kid. It's very kid-centered, and we're just in these bubbles. And so I really wanted to be able to show him in a way that was appropriate for his age and for who he was about community and giving back. And the best way kids learn is through play. It's through play. It's through being creative. It's through using their imaginations. And so my husband and I kind of came up with this idea of creating this box that came with activities and cool t-shirts or capes or fun things that kids wanted to do, books that parents are already reading to their kids, and kind of tie it all together, attach it to a different nonprofit for each box, and teach that child about community. So they're not just doing the craft to put on the refrigerator, they're doing the craft to make an impact in that nonprofit in some way.
Okay, guys, hang on 1 minute. I get to tell you about our other sponsor for this week's episode, Anchored Press. Anchored Press is a Christian planner that keeps you focused on God as you organize your day. As moms, we spend so much time meeting the needs of others, and sometimes we end up neglecting our own souls. This planner helps us do both things. My friend Deanna has created a gorgeous resource to keep all the things together. Your times with the Lord, your plans, your goals, your go-to dinners. Your biggest problem is going to be choosing which one you want. So go to anchoredpress.com and get your 2018 planner today. Okay, so tell us the name of your company.
It's called Outside the Box by Cheeky Days. The Cheeky Days comes from my son because he really makes our days cheeky. Spitball, he's full of energy, and that's where that kind of comes from. Outside the Box is kind of our tribute to, we have a subscription box and we want to live outside of that box.
Okay, so Inside the Box is going to be, like you said, is there always an article of clothing or some kind of dress up thing?
Yeah, so it's either a cape or a mask, a t-shirt, maybe a tote bag, something that will engage the kids and it'll be fun for them.
Okay, and they can take anything and make it fun. I mean, oh my gosh. Yeah. Yes. And then a book is in there?
A book is in there. It's always going to be like a children's picture book.
Okay. The proceeds go towards a nonprofit, or what else is in the box?
So the wearable, some clothing item, a book, and then there'll be 2 to 4 crafts and activities. Okay. And out of those activities, you get everything included. So you don't have to like run to Target to figure out how to finish the craft. All of the things will come for you. But one or two of them will actually be aimed at giving back to that nonprofit, whatever nonprofit we're partnered with for that box.
How do you give back by doing the craft?
So for instance, we partnered with the Birthday Party Project, which does birthday parties for homeless children all across the country. And one of the crafts was to make a happy birthday banner. And so the kids made the happy birthday banner, and then they collected items that the Birthday Party Project needed for a birthday party, put it all back in the box that their things came from. We include the shipping label, and then they send it to the Birthday Party Project.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
A birthday party for a child. Yeah. So things like that. We always look for nonprofits that have ways for the kids to be able to give back.
That is so cool. I didn't gather that from what I saw, but that is so awesome. And every month one comes?
When we started last year, we did one every month, but actually for 2018, we're moving to a quarterly model. So they'll come out 4 times a year. So it'll be 4 a year.
Wow, that's great.
There's also a gift for mom. So in every box, there's something fun for mom. Coffee, bracelet,
you sold me on
something,
it.
Socks, and those are all from give back companies. So the things for mom, like our last box, we put in socks from this company called Conscious Steps, and those socks provided 7 meals for kids in need.
That is so fun. Oh my gosh. So you got the buy-in for the kids and the moms.
Yes.
Love it. Is it going well so far, the company?
It is. It is going well. For me, I think the hardest part is like marketing and putting myself out there, because I never had to do that before. And I'm a natural introvert, so it's not natural for me to come out and just be like, hey, here I am. Here's what I do.
Yeah.
So that's been the hardest part, is kind of telling people about what we do and putting myself out there in that way.
Yeah, it does feel awkward. But I mean, honestly, if it's helpful, it really isn't about you. And I know you know that, right? But it's really about teaching the kids, the community, the organizations you're working with. That kind of helps me if I'm feeling like, oh, you know, who do I think I am? I'm like, wait, it's not really about me anyway. So that's great. Okay. So how have you seen this impacting people who have gotten the boxes? What's the feedback been like?
The feedback has been really great. Like I was talking about the homeless kits before. So we did our pre-launch. We had a mom's group come over and actually make those care packs for homeless families. And one of the moms told me later, she was like, my son asked me, he was like, well, which one of my friends doesn't have a home? And she was like, well, all of your friends have homes. He was like, well, who am I going to give this back to then? Which one of my friends, if they all have homes? Because Miss Elizabeth said this was for homeless families. And it opened up a whole conversation with her then 4-year-old about homelessness and how some people don't have homes and all of these things, which that's a really, I mean, you don't just sit down with a 4-year-old and say, let's talk about homelessness today.
Yeah.
But when you have an activity, when you have a craft, when you have something, it prompts conversations naturally. Mm-hmm. And that's what I found to be the most impactful when talking to the parents, is that it prompts conversations that maybe you wouldn't otherwise have.
Yeah. Well, and I think also when their little hands are busy, the conversation just comes so naturally, I think.
Yeah.
Like when you're coloring or when you're doing something, the questions they ask are amazing when you're doing that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think also then it makes the words that you say matter more when you're actually doing it. That's really good.
Yeah. Well, there was another very fun challenge we did. Our very first box, we partnered with a company called Souls for Souls, and they give shoes to children and families all across the United States and the world. But one of their challenges was to wear two different shoes on your feet for a day.
Okay.
And so we did that. And when you're doing that, your kid is like, why am I wearing two different shoes? But it opens up these conversations again about, because some kids don't have a same pair of shoes. Some kids have to wear one shoe on one foot and no shoe on the other foot. And
really?
So this, we're talking about, you know, why we're donating shoes. And it's because how would it feel to wear shoes like this every day? And it just opens up those conversations again.
Yeah. Wow. That's really, I guess I never thought about that. Something you said that was concerning to you is how our communities or what we're surrounded by seems to have so much exposure to hate and judgment and anger and all that kind of stuff. Where are you seeing that the most? And how are you kind of combating that?
For me personally, I see it a lot on social media. It's everywhere on social media. I just think in our political climate right now and where we are, I think it almost feels like we need to get back to basics. We need to get back to remembering that we are all humans. It doesn't matter what color skin you have. It doesn't matter what accent you have. It doesn't matter what religion you are. We are all humans created, and we should all have a love and an empathy and an understanding for each other. And that's where we should start. I don't know if you ever heard about Brené Brown, but she talks about being inextricably connected as humans. And I just find that to be so true, that we are just connected. But when we kind of start to distance ourselves or judge other people or not approach people with curiosity and understanding, but rather with judgment and kind of close, where we just kind of shut down a little bit, that's when we start to say things or feel things about other people that maybe we wouldn't if we just asked a couple more questions or remembered that we're connected and that we all have the same emotions and the same feelings. And that when we look at our kids, we look at them the same way and those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And I really want my son, but really all kids, to know that kindness and empathy and being grateful for where you are in your life. And when I say diversity, what I mean is looking at somebody who's different than you and seeing them as equal to you, even though they may be different than you, that those values and the ability to live those out in your life are as important as going to school and getting good grades, going to college, that those things make you equally successful and maybe even more successful in a different type of way. And I think we focus so much sometimes as parents on swim class and academics and all of these things. And we expect our kids will just pick up the rest. They'll pick up kindness. They'll pick up empathy. They'll pick up these things. But I think showing our kids that these things are just as important as being on time for swim class or that math tutor, that it really changes the dynamic of who they can be and what they know is valuable in our family life and should be valuable in my life as I grow up.
Yeah, that's really good. Because we do, I think it is definitely put on the back burner how to treat people. And I think in our culture, we tend to just say, you know, kids will be kids and, you know, they're just shy. So that's why they don't make eye contact. They have control over their eyeballs and they should look at people when they're talking to them. You know what I mean? Like we let them get away with too much because we make too many excuses and think it's just going to come later. So I love that you're proactive about, no, it can come now.
Yeah.
How has the Outside the Box project changed you personally? Because you said you've always kind of been thinking of other people and you're kind of centered towards that, where a lot of people aren't as much.
Well, I think what this project showed me really is, well, I talked about how like it showed us that we were kind of missing that connection piece a little bit in our own personal lives. It showed me that the capacity to like really spend that time with my son and get him engaged through play and get him engaged through creating different things, it made a difference in his life. And it's just really awesome to kind of see what you do have an impact in your son's life and then how that can have an impact later in other kids' lives too. Like, and parents can do those things. I know that this is what I want to do, but if I can share that with other people and other people feel the same way, and then other people use that to teach their kids, I think for me that that's been the most impactful. As far as doing the project and being a small business owner, it's really grown me a lot, because in the shelter, I had a place where I knew and I was very good at what I did. And being a small business owner, you kind of, I've never done that before. And so I failed a lot. I've made a lot of mistakes. There have been days I'm like, gosh, you're so crazy. Why did you ever do this? You don't know what you're doing. And so that's been a very big growth process for me. It's just kind of saying, I'm not the best at this, but I'm growing and I'm learning what I'm doing as far as owning my own business.
Yeah. Well, and the reason behind it and the vision is worth kind of the blundering along the way, yeah. You know? Yeah. How do you find which nonprofits to work with?
I look for ones that have ways that kids can actually give back.
Okay.
That's important, because a lot of them, you know, collect financial donations, but we don't want to just send kids out to raise money. We want to actually have them do something that they can physically give back. So that's how we kind of work for our nonprofits. Like Souls for Souls, a kid could go into their closet and donate a pair of shoes. The Birthday Party Project, they could create a happy birthday banner and send that.
And everything then goes right back in the box that they got it in each month. Mm-hmm. Is that a thing?
Yeah. We'll always include the shipping label for the nonprofit, and they can just reuse the box we send them to send it out.
That's perfection. Because trying to find a box and trying to get to the post office is just not probably going to happen for most moms. Yeah. Tell me, what's the age group that you feel like benefits from this the most?
So we say picture book age, so like 3 to 7. What a 7-year-old's going to get out of it and what a 3-year-old's going to get out of it are going to be two completely different things.
Yeah.
But it's starting at that age. It's planting those seeds. And then 5, 6, and 7, they're going to start understanding more. They're going to start asking more questions. Mm-hmm. But I think our activities and the books and the fun stuff in the box relates to that age group in particular.
Okay. I honestly think, as I'm thinking, my daughter's 9. An older sibling could lead the younger sibling through it. And so in that way, even it could be like a larger group if you have the older ones kind of taking the lead.
Absolutely.
To take the younger ones through it. I'm just trying to think, because my daughter would totally be into it, and she's 9, just if she can be in charge of it.
Yeah.
You got to know your audience, and homie, homegirl likes to be in charge. So that's great. That just feels like a lot to do every month. So I feel like I understand why you may have switched to quarterly.
Yes.
Well, and it's a lot to receive every month, too. So is it something where you can, like, sign up and then do you buy, like, a year at a time, since they're only coming 4 times a year now?
Yes. So you can buy either for the whole year, so you get all 4 boxes. You can buy an individual box, or you could buy half, so you could buy 2 boxes.
Okay.
So you can get them at either end.
Okay. I think that's really fun, especially because some moms have zero idea of how to do that. So you're just really standing in the gap there.
Yeah. Well, we wanted to make it convenient for moms, because I know I had ordered a craft box for my son, and it said it came with everything. And I was super excited, because I'm actually not a very good crafter or DIYer at all. And the first thing it said was, get out your glue gun. I was like, glue gun? I don't own a glue gun. I don't even know where to buy a glue gun. So I had to text my mom's group, which they all knew, but I didn't. But we wanted to make it where you don't really have to go out and get anything, that everything comes in the box ready. You can do it in your pajamas on Saturday morning and have it done, so that you don't have to worry about going out and doing that. You can just do it at home, but you're still teaching your child valuable lessons that will be important for them.
Yeah. Well, and getting stuff in the mail is like the highlight of my kids' entire life.
Yeah.
So that's so good. So as a mom who also has a small business and you're just busy, what do you love to do to take care of yourself?
So I mentioned running at the beginning. That's something I used to always do, and then kind of tapered off as I had my son. And now I've started to pick it back up, because it's just so important for self-care for me. I'm an introvert. So for me, even being around people I love is draining. It's like just drains the battery. And so finding time to read or write by myself, and just that's super recharging for me.
Yeah, that's good. I can't tell if I'm an introvert or an extrovert, but I feel like I'm an introvert, because that kind of stuff I can identify with what you're saying.
My husband's at borderline. He's like, he loves the time alone, but he also like super extroverted in a group of people. So I think there's like this people who are kind of both.
That may be me too then. I think I can see all the things that you're saying. Okay. All right. So what is something that you just can't even stop talking about right now?
So what I haven't been able to stop talking about, I guess, is Brené Brown. Like, I'm kind of obsessed.
Yeah.
She's pretty awesome. And actually, she's a Houstonian.
Oh, she is. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And her book just recently came out. And we got to go see her. Well, my friend and I.
Another one that she just did?
Yeah. And
what's it called?
It's called Braving the Wilderness.
Oh, I did not even know about that. I read Rising Strong, the most recent one. I loved it.
Yeah. And so we got to go see her, and Houston was her first stop on her book tour because she's from Houston. And she gave us all the book before it even came out, which was pretty cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Is it good?
I have started it. So it is good, but I haven't finished it. So I can't, but, give
you
my complete
moving
critique.
To Spain. So that yes. might be why.
Yeah. But I'm super excited about it. When we went to go see her, it was pretty amazing. One of the things she talked about was having an open front,
okay.
a strong back, and a wild heart, which just kind of really resonated with me.
Open front, like what?
Like being open with your heart. Like, you know how a lot of times as people, we get our defenses up. And we yeah. automatically get really strong here. But she was talking about having a strong back as opposed to having a strong front and having an open front and then like a wild heart. And it kind of spoke to me because I was like, that's so true. Because a lot of times when I'm uncomfortable or I'm learning something or I don't feel I'm in the best place, it's like automatically your front, there's like a wall that goes up, right? Or you get defensive. And instead of just always being open in the front and having that strong back is kind of your support.
So having a support system, is that what what would a strong back look like?
I think what she's talking about is really being firm in who you are and your belief systems and your values and just who you are as a person and knowing that and being strong in that.
That's really great. The thing I love that she talks about is, did you read Rising Strong?
Yes.
About the story I'm telling myself is that, and then just like voicing the things that you're making up in your head that you're deciding are true, that really yeah. has helped my husband and I in our marriage be like, okay, the story I'm telling myself is because I didn't make dinner, you think I'm a terrible wife. And he's like, I didn't say that. I don't think that, you know? And so I'm like, I know, I'm just telling you what I'm making up.
Exactly.
It's really yep. helpful though. Yeah. I love yeah. Brené Brown. Awesome. Well, Elizabeth, I'm really excited to know about what you're up to with your outside the box. I'm also really excited about Madrid. What the heck? That's so exciting.
Yeah.
I love that you're actually doing what you say you want to do and what you say your value is. That's great. So thank you for talking to me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here today.
All right, ladies, so many good things, lots to think about, and I know that you are going to really benefit from considering what Elizabeth brought up today. I personally have received one of the boxes from Outside the Box, and they're so jam-packed with good, fun things. My son got a shirt with a dog on it, and I don't know if you know, but I don't even really like dogs, and I wish the shirt was big enough for me. It's adorable. And I do like dogs. They're growing on me. But I'm not like a wear a dog shirt person, but I would wear this shirt. My daughter got to the mom gift before I did, and it's like an arrow ring. It's like an arrow that's just wrapped around your finger, and it's a ring. Anyway, so she loved it so much that I didn't get that either. Anyway, it had so many crafts and all the supplies you need, and the kids have loved it. The idea of getting this 4 times a year just right to your doorstep, I'm so on board with it. So maybe this week, your strategy to struggle well is to sign up to get these boxes sent to your house. If you want to do that, go to momstrugglingwell.com/podcast, and it'll take you right to the show notes for episode 110, and I'll have a link there for you so you can get yourself those boxes. Maybe you were inspired by what Elizabeth said about making big changes to actually live out your values. Elizabeth is moving to Spain. Maybe that's not your plan, but maybe there's another way that you can shift some things around and get on a more intentional track. Maybe you liked her intentional idea about making the kind of little packs for the homeless or people in need that you see, and you can just make them things that can stay in your car. So as you see someone, you can meet that need and show your kids practically ways to love their community. Elizabeth mentioned looking for the purpose in a person's repeated mistakes and the value in holding out compassion and not just judgment. So maybe there's a person in your life and you've kind of been more judgy than compassionate, you've kind of gotten a little backwards, and you can reach out with compassion this week instead. Hey guys, thanks so much for listening. I'm really thankful for you taking the time to be intentional about your motherhood. It's going to make such a difference to yourself, but also for your kiddos. If you haven't gotten your Mom Struggling Well handmade mug yet, Natalie told me she has a couple left. This is mug season. She made a limited amount, so when they're gone, but they're super cute, hand-stamped, hand-thrown pottery. You can go to my website and find the link, or on Instagram, you can find the link. If you go to Mom Struggling Well, look for that. Super cute mugs, good Christmas present. Make sure to find the Mom Struggling Well community on Instagram and Facebook at Mom Struggling Well. And as always, before you go to Amazon and buy all the things, first go to momstrugglingwell.com/Amazon, and then the show gets a little tiny bit from Amazon of your purchase, and doesn't cost you anything more, and it's a free way for you to support the show. I love to hear your thoughts on social media, so reach out to me this week, and I hope that you have a wonderful week of struggling well.